license, the planning meeting to order at 6 p.m. I'll note that all the councilors are here except Councilor Adele McAbee. And I would like to go to the agenda of affordable housing presentation by Jim Long. Jim.
Hi, do you want me at the podium or my point?
This is a work session, so you can just sit there.
Hey,
you
can be happy to
pull it forward if you want.
No, I'm good. First of all, thank you for having me down here. A little bit of background. I used to spend my summers in Lapine as a kid. If some of you have been around for a few years, you may remember the Wild Hunt Motel. If not, oh, you do, huh? Yeah, that was down there at the junction of 31 and 97. It no longer exists, but my grandparents owned that. So as a child, I spent many a summer here, so I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Lapine. So I'm going to give you a little background. First off, as I said, I'm Jim Long. I'm with the City of Bend. You may not know it, but you may have seen a City of Bend rig wandering around your town. We've been down here spending money in your community, which is a good thing. There's a program that was out, a federal program called the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. There's actually been three iterations of it, and they've all been funded through different federal acts. The first NSP1 was actually came in under the Bush administration, and that was part of the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. NSP2, which we've been spending money down here on, was actually part of the ARRA, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And that's what I'm going to tell you a little bit about. That was actually a nationwide competitive grant. Originally, when the grant process came out, we were just applying for the City of Bend. We just looked and said, okay, we have, you know, the whole city qualified for this program. And so we started, you know, we ran an application process. Like I say, it was very competitive. And about that time, I started getting phone calls from other cities in the state, and not from around here. Medford called, and then Clackamas County called, and Washington County. And they said, well, can we go on a consortium application with you? And I said, well, sure, because it would be a statewide thing. I said, but if we're going consortium, then we're going to expand our thing out, because I'm not going to just write a grant to help you guys. I'm going to help, you know, I'll help our surrounding areas. Just one of the main reasons behind that is people, as you may well know, we may be different communities, but it's one basic housing market in the whole Central Oregon region. So the grant we applied for was a tri-county grant. It covered basically almost all of Deschutes County, with the exception of the very far east census tract, but that's out where Brothers is, and you know, there's really not a lot of housing out there or people. And about half of Jefferson County. It did not include the reservation, and then it also included about half of Crook County. It didn't take the Palina Post area, and again, that's more ranch country. So region-wide, we got about $2.5 million through that process. Now, what we could use that funding for is basically down payment assistance, acquisition assistance for bank-owned foreclosed upon properties to help people. And unlike most HUD programs, it was not limited to low income. It was up to 120% of median income for the vast majority of it. So we set up an acquisition financing acquisition. Basically, we ended up also, the state of Oregon joined in our consortium. So then there's about six entities in the consortium. Statewide, we only got awarded $6 million, but like I say, not even quite $6 million. Over half came to Central Oregon, which was good because, you know, we were the ones. We put up the money to write the grant, and we actually, you know, hired out the consultants to gather the data and everything. So I'm glad that we got the money. under the financing mechanism one, we would go up to 20% of the purchase price of the home to a maximum of $30,000 or $35,000. And the way it worked is a zero interest deferred payment loan. In other words, no interest accrued on the loan, no payments were made. And it was a soft second. So it got a lot of people into homes. In Lapine itself, we did exactly three homes inside the city limits of this program. We did another three kind of outside the city limits, but, you know, fairly near the area. And then the other program we did with that This one is probably more near and dear to my heart. It was called Activity B. It was dealing with the nonprofit development. By statute of this money, we had to spend a certain amount, had to benefit people at or below 50% of median income. So we did an RFP process. We only had to spend about $290,000 of the total that we got on that funding, on that program. But of the applications that came in, the one that was the highest ranked and the one that got the vast majority of the money was $140,000 for a project here in Lapine. And it's for Central Oregon Veterans Outreach. I don't know any of you. I work a lot with the vets. I'm a vet, so I work a lot with them. For a place for bringing homeless vets, you know, get them out of the woods. So we expect to get up to four units in this house. And as I said, they got $140,000 out of the $290,000, so they got, you know, close to half of that came to that entity. And that's good. That's probably it'll be a real nice project. We haven't quite closed on it. It'll be up to them if they want to release the address or not, you know. But in case, just so you know, that's also the first shelter of that type to deal with veterans issues in the South County.
In the city limits?
It's just outside the city limits.
Okay.
You have so much area right outside the city limits, and that's right where this is. But it's good. It's actually a four-bedroom place on about 3 acres, but it has a really large shop, you know, a place for the guys to get work and all. And I don't know if you've dealt with COVO much, but they're really good in dealing with the vets. You know, I've gone out and volunteered with them. You know, they know all the camps, and they're really good at getting the guys in. They're really good at getting them their benefits that they deserve, that they've earned, that they don't know that they have, you know, getting them on the medical plans and everything. So that's one of the, you know, that's a project you should be proud of, and that's going to be in your community, or outside your community. And then the last thing I want to tell you is there is another iteration of NSP. It's called NSP3. You guys have a lot of areas that qualify in that. Ben currently has none that qualify, but the state's thinking of changing that. If we get areas in, they'll ask us to administer. If not, I'm not sure who's going to administer down here for you, but unless we have areas in, we're probably not going to be involved in that. They might be one of the nonprofits around here, or somebody like that would do it. But that's just giving you a background that there'll probably be more money spent down here, again, just on the home buyer acquisition program.
Jim, who would handle, let's say that you don't get into it, who handles it at the state level? Or?
Well, the state would probably end up handling. I know darn good well what those lovely fellows will do. They'll call us up and say, hey, would you please handle it down there? You know, I just don't think I could sell it to my council, you know, at that point. I mean, maybe we could, but it's kind of hard to really justify doing a program that doesn't, you know, that we don't have any, you know, we don't have skin in the game on that one.
How would an organization down here?
It probably wouldn't be. They'd probably have to go with one of the larger nonprofits like Neighbor Impact or Housing Works. Or conversely, they, you know, my feeling is that they're going to throw some areas of bend in just so we'll administer it for the area, which is fine. We have a pretty good record with the state. You know, we've had been audited 3 times. They've had no findings or anything like that, so it works out pretty well.
Thank you.
And we have when it comes to the nonprofit side of it, that money, you know, we don't make the decisions on that. We have what we call our Affordable Housing Advisory Committee, which is, you know, it's a 9-member committee, but they represent all aspects of the county. We have one member appointed by the Central Oregon Builders Association. We have one member appointed by the Central Oregon Association of Realtors. One that represents a local bank. It has to be, you know, a tri-county bank. Can't remember what else, but you know, we only have 2 quote at-large members. So it's a pretty diverse group, and they do pretty good. Like I say, in the nonprofit side of it, Ben got the short end of the stick, but that's okay. And even in the overall expenditure of the funds, by population, Ben probably got a little bit less than, you know, would have if we had done it just straight by population. But again, you know, there's so much in the county area, and as I keep telling people, you know, we are one housing market from Madras all the way down to Lapine. People need to understand that.
So how many total houses did? I got you guys down under this $2 million.
Oh, 90 some properties.
Okay.
Yeah, 90 some properties have come off the market through that. Several of them were. We also bought a lot of land for some other nonprofits that do developments. Holy hell!
It was terrible coming down.
It was. We bought a lot of property with Redmond Habitat. Newberry Habitat actually got some NSP1 funding. They didn't get it through us, but then we helped them with the we helped the state on some of their aspects of that, and then Sisters Habitat. So you know, it a lot of the habitats got some dirt through this program, which worked out real well for them also. That way, you know, it's just less money out of their pocket.
So that's were you doing this job prior to this grant?
Oh yeah, I've been at Ben for 6 years now, and I've been working affordable housing for about 20 years now. Okay. 25. God, yeah, a long time. So yeah, I came over to Ben probably a little bit after you came to the city of Ben.
A week after.
She was the first person I met walking in. She had been a receptionist.
Yeah.
That
sounds like a very good program. So
yeah, like I said, we get more funding, and you know, if that's the case, then we'll probably contact you and say, you know, just let you know ahead of time that we'd be doing something down here if the state wants it. Again, that's going to depend if the state wants us to run it for them or not. So, but we do like working down here. So
yeah,
there you go.
Are there any questions?
Jim, yeah. Could you go over in the beginning? You mentioned the criteria. There's something about 20% and 35,000, and I didn't quite.
Well, it's 20% of the purchase price of a home. So up to 20% of the purchase price of a home to a maximum of $35,000.
So that might be available to somebody wanting to buy a home?
That's what it's exactly for.
It's for buy. It's for purchasing.
They have to be bank-owned, foreclosed upon properties.
Okay. And the individual could be up to
120%
of median.
Yeah, for a family, I don't have that figure off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure, like, for a family of four, that's around $78,000. So, you know, Deschutes County has a fairly high median income. So
like a grant or
it's a zero interest, deferred payment loan.
Deferred payment.
Which means that no payments are made on it, no interest accrues. You end up paying the loan off when you sell the house.
Okay.
Where the title changes hands.
Do they take a second?
Yeah, it's second.
Okay.
Yeah, no bank's going to let that go in front of them.
Right.
You know, if you find that bank, let me know. I'd have a lot more.
You don't file a lien or anything. So
yeah, there's a lien on the property, but it's a second lien.
But it's a second. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a soft, they call it soft second in the industry.
Yeah.
Okay, any
other questions?
I know that. Thank you for the second year.
Yeah.
For applying for loans for this area.
Yeah. No problem. As I told these folks, I have a soft spot in my heart for La Pine. So.
Mm-hmm. You never said that to me before.
Well, not to you. for the citizens other than Adele, I also
have a soft spot. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you for your time.
Have a safe trip home.
Oh, yeah.
Take care. La Pine Water and Sewer District withdrawal.
I included some of the benefits things that went out into the just so that you have that, so that you have those items. All of you have scheduled or have either talked to our facilitator. How many of you have scheduled or talked to him?
Both.
And you are tomorrow at
9:00 in the morning.
Haven't heard from.
Well, we sent an email out, and you're supposed to. You gave time. There was phone numbers you're supposed to call.
Okay.
They've talked to the water district, to all of them except Barbara.
Okay. So we get called at all.
Well, you can just put it in the email and send that back to him.
Okay.
That's what.
Well, if you're the last line, you just call him up. I mean, he'll talk to you when you figure that out.
Yeah.
Good.
So. Then we'll be here, of course, on Monday night at 5, right? 5, and we will have some snacks and things so you stay energized for that high level, high energy meeting. And then what I want to make sure is that we're on board to do the withdrawal hearing. We have set that for March 8th. We have it in the Ben Bulletin. This is different than a normal ordinance that we can do because it's a state thing. So it had kind of a list of stuff we had to do in order to meet the requirements of it. We actually had already placed the ad. And to get all the times in. you know, and it has to be done by March 31st total. So we set the 8th. However, if the council, you know, if you kind of, nobody wants to hold the hearing, and we're not going to take a vote on it, but if you give me kind of an idea of what you, direction you'd like to go, then we'll hold the hearing. And then you vote on the 24th or 3rd, or what's the second meeting in March?
It's
23rd. 23rd. That's when you'd have an actual vote on it. So, I mean, we have talked about it in many meetings, and I'm assuming that we are on board to hold the withdrawal hearing.
And the hearing's on the
8th.
8th.
So, we'll have that at the Senior Center. I have been working on a PowerPoint for that. And Dawn went down, we even ran a test run today to make sure that the audience, when they sit way back, can see words and everything. So we plugged our laptop in, it worked, and made sure the color combinations were okay. And so I've got that. I'm still going to finish, I'll be working on it until the day we show it. But and what that will be is probably not that many slides. The concept is we would probably have, I was going to have Jane Benner to be there and talk at some point, because she was the one that met with the county commission when they formed the city and the county put it on the ballot. Just have a couple people to give a little history. I think it's important as to that Don Griner wasn't bored one Tuesday 6 months ago and decided that you guys should take on merging some sewer and water districts together. There was a little more to it. And but I'm going to cover that with the PowerPoint and kind of go through the benefits that I handed out here, the pluses, why it's important. And then also we'll have something like this to hand out. You guys wanted me to do a business plan, and I've been working on this. And so in here, and I'm actually, there's a couple people going to do my final review of this for me for my things, but it covers kind of an overview of why we're doing this, the goals that we have set, that it covers the program benefits, justification, and internal controls and operations based on the things I've found. A transition team I think we should form to actually, when we start implementing operational functions. I have the staffing employment, I got the wages of their employees, kind of a structure of where an employee would go to work under this new consolidated system, you know, the billing at City Hall, and that's where management and finance. I've got the long-term debt, short-term debt of the districts, their loans, the benefits we've attached. Our two-page of we did Sisters, Madras, Springville, Chiusa Valley Water and Avion Water District, compared it to Lapine. We have holiday sick leave, vacation earned, medical benefits, on-call policy, and other. So a person can look at that. That's attachment A to this. And, the whole nine yards here, and a conclusion.
Very good.
And we'll have this available to hand out at the meeting. I think it's going to show that, again, we really have put a lot of thought into this. And it's been a six-month process of reviewing and learning and analyzing. You've seen those books I carry around. I have a box that I carry with me everywhere. There's lots of pages. And we've done a good job as a city of doing our due diligence. We know what we're getting into. That's why probably, you know, some of it's sensitive to folks, because we've done a good job and we've asked the tougher questions and we've asked the follow-up questions that sometimes aren't, you know, the easiest to answer. So this isn't public yet, so that's why I'm not giving it out, because if I give it to all of you, then someone else in the back of the room gets it.
Good enough.
But I'll have it to you guys by Wednesday next week. I'll email it, you know, and I do hope that some of you read it. I was going to hide your names in here, and then say, okay, where was your name in here? Actually, I think you'll enjoy. You don't need to read the benefit side because you've read it enough times, and that's like three pages of it. So skip that. But I think when you get into the some of the other stuff, you know, I try to be pretty honest about what I felt is happening operationally, and you know, you've got boards that you know, for example, the boards. You've got half the boards have 10 to 20 years of longevity. That half continues, always is the chairman or president of the board. The bottom half is a revolving door where people come and go. And then that has centralized the power in that top half because it is the only consistent group.
Right.
And so that bottom half never has become a chairman, never become a president. And then the final piece that adds to that kind of organizational problems and issues is the nepotism that has gone on for years when you have relatives and you're trying to manage them in an organization with four or five employees. It's a recipe for problems. You know, so I really did go through and I think you'll enjoy the reading of it, and I think the city then will be able to be kind of a template that we can operate off.
Very good.
The districts have executive sessions on Friday. Both of them are having that. So, and then we, of course, have our facilitated session Monday. So there's lots of sewer and water in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So at the hearing, are we going, is the council going to have like a statement or get an opportunity to say something that to let the public know that, you know, there was a lot of thought and a lot of opportunities that the council came in a consensus. I think there was three or four times.
Yeah, what I would think depends on how you guys want to do that, but I mean, it's a, you know, we want to, you guys should each, in that, and each one of you needs to, I think, let people know why you think it's important or not, and why you want to hear from the people, and just, you know, but I think each person, so I think that's something that after we give the presentation, probably should give the presentation first, and then have you folks, you know, and then have the public hearing, and, you know, you'll have questions will be asked, and, you know, this isn't a land use hearing, so you have a little, you know, you can, you know, hear from people and try to answer their questions and stuff. You know, who knows if you'll get many people. I know the average person, you know, these kind of things, you know, we talk to ourselves a lot. So hopefully we'll get some people out. You know, Hillary may have solved that issue for us. You know, so they can stir up a crowd.
We're talking about doing the presentation first, and then the council makes some comments, and then we start answering questions.
Yeah, of course, I'd probably like you to do a staff report, you know, and of everything, and then, or you could start with the council. I mean, there's no right or wrong.
No, I think the presentation is is the best place to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gives a solid presentation of what's going on and what is and isn't. And then the council speaks into, you know, just like Adele said, that you know, it's obvious of all the due diligence, and it's, the council's come together several times and making their position known. So,
yeah, definitely.
Okay, and doing no more to that. City Hall update.
The City Hall. We did some documents today for the Bank of Mellon of New York. And we're working with that. And Adele and I met yesterday. The Kins met a couple times. Adele and I went down and spent an hour or so with the architects and went through a bunch of stuff. And that, I think, went real well. Adele, why don't you give me your thoughts of kind of what you saw and what you thought?
Yeah, I thought it was, we met with the audiovisual person, and so that is going to be able to, we're going to have equipment to facilitate the PowerPoints and for especially for the audiovisual, the hearing is going to be, from here, it's going to be 100% better. So that's going to be, I think it'll be good, so be more participation. They offered three levels of the interior, so it would be, I think it starts out with formica and it ends with granite.
Granite with wood,
yeah. It would have like a facade of wood there to cut down on the cost, and then granite on the counter so it would be more durable. It's because they were explaining if you had wood on the counter, then you'd have to refinish it and do whatever. But they really seemed like they put a lot of thought into it. And there's some flexibility in the prices. So when they bring it to, they're coming on the 9th.
Yes, right.
And so then when they bring it to the council, then we can decide on what we want.
And actually, the next phase is we want to decide, because then the next phase is when they would kind of take that and then start drafting the, because this is just conceptual type stuff. Yeah, they looked at, did it meet ADA and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we kind of told them to take the middle the middle one, and then some of the other things, do them as alternatives. I think Adele and I felt that you probably were not interested in a dais with formica on the front. That will be there for 25 or 30 years. So we did. We went out on a limb on that. So because it kind of narrows it down for them and helps, but it's really going to be they're going to have a soffit type. But what was it called? What's it called? Not a soffit, but there was a term.
Oh,
so
a C word.
A coffer. Sorry. Coffer. Oh, yeah. A coffer. It's a coffer. Coffer. Something or other. But so it'll drop down above where the council dais is, and it'll have round lights that shine out and can dim on it, and it'll be pretty neat. And we, it's. I think people are going to like it. As I explained there, when all of us were meeting there, this is something you need to remember, that this is your heart of your government, and it will be there a long time. You do this once. Most every government is in the same meeting room for 20 to 50 to 60 years. You put formica on there, you have given your predecessors formica. So we're trying to do it right and plan it with the sound systems, and so that the public can see the PowerPoints and everything, and do it right, because you get one shot at it.
Yeah, I had a thought, though, about there was mention about having it serve as an EOC center. And I'm not sure exactly what facilities we have around here, but it would be good to find out, what the what facilities the fire has and the other emergency responders. And if we can accommodate that within our budget, I think that would probably be
I can email.
Oh, and like Emergency Operations Command Center. Like if we had an event.
We've had those here. In fire situations, like I think Davis,
The fire is it 101 is set up for that. They have the internet access ports, the computer ports, the weather monitoring stations. They're directly connected to the 911 center, to Klamath County, to Walker Range. But that is an excellent idea. Just to check, because
think about earthquake.
Well, exactly. If you lose one, you still have the other one. So that's an excellent idea.
Well, yeah. What I can do is call the fire chief, I guess. I mean, they have to want us to do it, because we don't provide any direct service. I mean, we don't have a policeman and we don't have a fireman.
Would we not want to talk to the county?
Because right. No, you talk
out county.
You're going to talk to the
sheriff.
They have a disaster coordinator, and they have a disaster plan, and they, okay. All of that, and it should define where these things are. Okay. And then also, would you write that down, Don Weber? Is it that Deschutes County? And also the fire chief, and just see what their thing is. Like I said, we'll have to.
Okay.
Because we can't.
I'm saying we can't.
But we'll move
that. Yeah. So I don't think that right now there's not too much else. We're just waiting for our funding, our money. We should get this fifth or sixth or seventh is when they sell lawns, and then we'll have some. We have an idea on our costs and all. And so our meeting in March, actually our March 8th meeting, we should, or whatever the 9th. We probably should be able to just kind of put this to bed. We should be able to accept our money, close the deal, tell the bank, and we'll have our money in a week or two, and we can write them a check and go on about our business. And I've got Jeremy and I'm working on the contract, the extension of their contract, so we can do the actual, the next phase of the architects. And then, oh, I think the other point that Adele brought up, and you did too, is we're going to try to do some things to promote local subs and local contractors. In other words, currently you have to belong to those Ben Builder boards in order to get the plans, the Ben Plan Center. You know, and a lot of small operators don't, because they don't want to pay the money. They don't belong to it. So we thought we would get copies of the plans, have sets here, and so people could come in here for free. We could check them out, sets of plans and things. So it helps promote the local. When we meet with the generals, you know, you can have a pre-meeting and you can tell them, you know, that we would want to make sure that they look at some local subs. We could try to give them a list of local subs. And then nature has to take its course a little bit. You know, they're going to go out and get bids and do their thing.
When we look at local general contractors as well.
Yeah. If one can, this is a prevailing wage job, so some people don't want to mess with that because if it's out of their normal area of thing. Now, if you're a sole proprietor, you know, it doesn't make any difference. You know, if you're a one person shop, but if you're going to hire employees, you get into prevailing wage. That's a requirement. It's a government building. And we can't escape that unless we were only spending $25,000. So that, unfortunately, is the law in the state of Oregon. And a lot of small operators don't want to screw with it.
But I think
we'll do what we can.
I think the other pieces are excellent. That we're going to make plans available. Those kinds of things will show that the city's got the locals.
Yeah.
In their mind, while we're moving forward. So I appreciate that.
That's it.
Time for public comment.
I think I should wait.
Oh, well, I got you some papers here.
Thank you.
Hearing none, I will adjourn the work session.
Well, if I'm not sure the special meeting at 7, they put it at 7, so I think we need to wait to 7 because unfortunately I try never to put times on an agenda. And since it's it's on this charter, I think that, but we can spend 20 minutes, we can take a break but we could spend 20 minutes just talking in general, whatever's on your mind or what other things we're working on. We don't have that a lot, but I think I would wait to.
Yeah. Okay.
What did you think about last night's plan? I guess all of you were there. You could tell me, you know, any thoughts of the ODOT.
Oh, no.
You know.
The website is not working right.
Isn't it?
No.
I went
on it, and then, I found out there was that little tiny, it said, return to project page. So when I clicked on that, I was able to get on the current information where they had the information about the open house tonight. But it's not intuitive. I was in there 10 minutes trying to figure out. Mm. And then I couldn't find the maps. It's not working.
You want to call somebody?
Well, I'll go call.
Just as a note, Rick put some maps out here?
Oh, yeah, I put some things out
outside
there.
On there, so if anybody wants maps, there was a collection of maps at this meeting last night with ODOT at the at the Mid-State conference room. And it laid out some ideas associated with first read in 97, roundabouts, some very interesting concepts. And there's some good material there. I think it really gives a good idea of the kinds of things that could be done, not near soon enough. But
I think everybody that was there is here.
But make it clear, ODOT was not present.
ODOT wasn't there.
They haven't been at the meeting the last couple of years.
And this was strictly the quarter study engineers. Is that
Kittleson Associates.
The department was present.
Yes.
As good as they were.
Well, just try to get your comments in if there's things. I mean, you saw the plans and, you know.
Are those plans that they showed us?
No.
Pretty much.
You're going to have a signal. Yeah. You're going to have a roundabout. I mean, you know, what else are you going to be?
If you have an engineering degree, you could probably come up with something.
Where? Degree of
I'm just wondering if they've done this expensive study for the third or fourth time, and I thought that in going over each of those things that some of them looked like all you had to do was sort of put a stop sign up and have accomplish about the same thing, and then others were $3-5 million projects for one corner. I mean, I can't see ODOT spending that much money. I just don't think they will. I think they're going to take the cheapest way out if they possibly can.
It's going to be a long process to get that funded. I mean, the state's in a financial crisis, and, you know, everybody, Ben's got 100 projects. I mean, you know, and they got them from here to Klamath Falls to the Dalles. So, you know.
I think it's important that the council think about some temporary, some minimum expense of just straightening that corner out with some lanes and some extra asphalt where you could make a right turn going north off of Reed. You could come up and you could actually have some signs and everything around that would show you how to get off of First Street going south, because it's terrible. And I mean, there's that Reed Road going into 97 ought to have a left turn, a center lane, and a right turn. Mm-hmm. I think if that happened, you would take a bunch of the anxiety out of people at that center or at that intersection. And
I think it addresses that because it talks about doing things in phases. It showed you could go do a right turn lane, mm-hmm. and that's maybe just a $50,000 deal. Mm-hmm. You know. And then you maybe do something over by the Taco Bell, and I mean it's saying the signal can come last, mm-hmm. and there's lots of things. It actually goes into what you're saying.
Well, but I'm really thinking more of the lines that he's talking about how far out. So when's ODOT going to come up and say, okay, we're going to spend some money down and we're going to start doing this? Or could they not get roped into the same thing for this down here that happened up at Pinecrest? There was such an outcry over Pinecrest and the many near accidents of Pinecrest. You go up there and you know what it looks like now, and you make that left turn to go across the railroad tracks. More than once I've come close to being in the rear end of somebody, and so they stopped. They stopped what they were doing and went down there and widened that so that people can go out around them going north. And it works. It now works. So that's just my comments.
So
$100,000 and straighten that corner up with some signs.
And that's exactly what Rick was saying, is you can start with little pieces, put a turn in lane.
Start with little pieces.
And that may be there for a year before anything else is done. and then the next year put a turning lane on the other side.
So I can carry that message to ODOT when I go to collect.
Exactly.
What message?
Just what you're describing.
Well, everyone's, you know, has an opportunity to put their comments on the website to the engineer. And I know before the computer, you can't get on there now, but you used to be able to do it online. You know, so it's going to happen in phases. It's not going to happen all at once.
But for me, Stu, it's no more than a case of, you know, how many studies we've got laying out there? Four, the first one?
I know.
They're still laying there. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, they've been accused of updating them just by changing the date on them.
Well, how many times did they try the little fixes
all the time? And we're still as far away from getting that intersection fixed as we were on the first study back there.
I think you are closer. Mm-hmm. And I think that you were unincorporated Deschutes County, and you were in the Deschutes County pot of issues. You are now a standalone city that next Wednesday, when you're in Salem and you're around people, all of that makes a difference. We're at COAC as a city, not Allen, or not
community.
One county commissioner, and Mr. Luke worried about everything from Terrebonne to here. It's a whole different deal. We are. And, you know, the plan, Kittleson does a good job. I mean, I think at the end of the day, this will help us. Does that mean we're going to get $1 million in the next 6 months? No. But this plan we're on this step, and they have $400,000-$300,000 or something there now. I mean, I think, you know, it'll work out, but it isn't, no one predicted the crisis we're in. So,
you know, they have that same questionnaire on the internet. Go in there. I filled one out today. And one of the things that I put in there is, let's not wait for 5 years to do something. Let's do something now, even if it's a small amount of work. But we need to do something now. We don't need to wait for 5 years to get something done.
Right. Sure. And this first year could be a turning
point.
I think that's our job, is to really push this out, make it a priority. When I see your face, I go, ooh, look who's first 97, you know, and, you know, so then they know.
Well, it goes back to when the city was first incorporated. Mm-hmm. We said, help, and we kept getting no and no. Mm-hmm. And then a commissioner said no and no. Libby said no and no. And, you know, unfortunately, the city got busy with other things. So it kind of got, you know, okay, we'll tackle it later, which is understandable. So now, and I've said it before, the city has to take the point on this. It's our project. So, yes, when we're in Salem, nail it.
Oh, absolutely.
When you see your county commissioners, keep it on the table, like you said. They're going to say, oh God, here comes Adele, here comes Kate, oh God, here we go again. Well, keep nailing it.
Can I inject one thing here, a little bit off of this, but is everybody aware of that dirt section that is part of Huntington from, you go down past Burgess, about a mile, and then Huntington takes off, and it's dirt, and River Road goes around, ambles around there, and finally comes back to Huntington, and it becomes pavement again. About 4 years ago, they started fixing that up.
Right.
Every year, they put lots of money, equipment, and men into bringing that, you know, straightening it out, opening the width of it, and bringing it up to what I'll call grade, to use the term grade. It's a marvelous thing when they've got it in the summertime. They've got it all graded up. Yep. They sprayed it last year, and it was just like a road. I firmly believe that if they would go in there, they wouldn't have to do much to bring it up to grade and get it ready for tar and feather, chip and seal, and take it down to where it meets Huntington again, or have it Huntington paved all the way, and then do that. Is that Deer Run in there? What's that little street that goes into Pinecrest?
That's
I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Is it Deer Run?
Yeah.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. And that's about a quarter of a mile. I think it would take the pressure off of the railroad track, mm-hmm. because people would come out of Lapine, go straight down Huntington, go across Burgess, go down there on a paved road, turn in, and it would, they wouldn't have to deal with 97 and that.
Why haven't they paved that? I thought it was a major bypass that they were putting in there. Why hasn't it been paved?
You're asking the wrong person.
Yes.
Yeah. but I'm just saying that I think the city should take a position, and believe me, I'll carry this to the COLAC meeting, but I think we should do something along the lines of getting our county commissioners involved, because it would be easy, it seems to me, to write them a letter and ask them to put it in this year's plan, work plan. They're doing a work plan right now.
To put what in the plan?
And you know who uses
that? Put painting that into the work plan for this year.
The school district uses that. That is their preferred route to go from here, because we've got people from this bus barn going up to Three Rivers and Three Rivers back, and that's where they go, right up and down that dirt road.
So I would ask us all to think about when we come down the road a little bit, with the idea that we send the county commissioners a letter and ask them to put it in the work plan. Mm-hmm. I think it'd benefit, the safety is for one, convenience.
And a whole subdivision, Pinecrest subdivision in there.
Yeah.
A couple other things, but we'll try to stick on our one in the city here. If you ask for two or three, then that's exactly what happens. But, you know, everyone can go argue what they want, but that is why often how you get to where with ODOT is
you don't splinter.
You mm-hmm. stay on, you know, that's a good issue, and you've got a good friend you see all the time, and it's in the county, and you let him go carry that water. Or if there's nothing wrong when you're out somewhere, but if you go to COLAC and you start arguing for something 10 miles or 5 miles or 3 miles out of town, it's just hard. Then if you start fussing about your own, it's like, well, so that's why groups don't get somewhere. You have to pick where your priority is, because they are not funding them all, right, and stick to it. So it's a need, and I agree with all of that, but I think let the county hustle on that.
Well, the county would be the focus.
And we could send a letter to the county, certainly, saying, hey, you know, that would be great to have, and okay, you know, in discussing it at COLAC is not a problem, but we need to keep our priority, of course, with inside the city limits. We will be at the LCDC meeting. Ken and I will be there on March 3rd at 1 o'clock or something like that.
I think it's in the morning, according to Debbie.
Yeah, so we'll be on the agenda there on our comp plan, and we'll get partial approval, partial denial, or a work plan that we'll have several months to continue working on. We'll be over at the legislature on Wednesday, since we're going to be there. We're making the best of it. And working with folks and meeting with legislators. Then on Friday morning, I will be at USDA in Portland meeting the managers of some of the local folks. I'll be there at the Way building on that. So that's our next week. So I'm going to be here on Monday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and have an hour conference call with ODOT while we're in Salem. So that's how next week will go. The other,
if there's anybody that has something, I have appointments with the Senator Chris Telford and Gene Wisnett, the representative. So if you've got anything that you'd like me to bring up to them while I'm looking them in the eyeball, please email it to me. I've got a list.
And the other thing, we met today with the budget, and Ken was in, and I think I'm starting to research, see if we can get someone to come kind of help us do our budget. I think that the best thing we can do when I leave here in a year or 10 months is that we have, our budget needs to really make some changes probably. And with this sewer and water coming in, and creating all these new funds and getting the transit room tax separated and doing all this, the time and all the things that the three of us spent an hour there today. And Ken, I think it was unanimous consent that it's probably the time, because we're going to hand this off to a new manager. I think after it's all built once, it's a little bit easier. But it's going to, the problem is the time and everything. They're just, I mean, this is March. Our March is flush with things. And we may have to have a BioGreen hearing in March also, besides all of our special meetings. And all of a sudden, we're in April. We start budget hearings. And I got to plan all that and do all that. We'll have them. But I think we need somebody that can really figure out how to take that sewer and water that does this. That's what they do for a living. Take that sewer and water budget. So do you guys think that's a route that's worth? Mm-hmm. And there's a gentleman who, and I'm going to do some checking, that actually was Eric Keene gave me his name. And he did budgets for municipalities in the region, and he actually specializes in utilities. Mm-hmm. And I thought that maybe getting someone like that in where you can really kind of do this right. Are you okay with me working down that path?
Yeah.
Seeing if we can get somebody. And I'm going to call Steve Greer and some of the others. Our auditor can't, because it's a conflict. They have to be totally separate where they come in and audit. So even though they can do that kind of stuff, can't use them. So if any other names or anyone that you think that comes to mind or someone that could do that, email me. Because I've drawn a blank, kind of. I'm going to talk to Chris Telfer about it, actually. I called her office today and told her to call me on my cell phone. So
there's a surprising amount of local talent here that we just don't know about till after we already hired somebody or something sometimes. And so I just really like us to make sure we have a consideration.
You have to,
you know, so
find
to figure it out.
We need to set this. This is going to end up being a $2 or $3 million budget, and we need to be getting this done. And I don't know who, you know, that is. And we're going to get the new Quicken. The new QuickBooks is actually getting more into some of this. But you're in there, I mean, we're sitting there, she does her thing, and Ken's showing me what he does, and he says that, you know, most places this would be automatic.
Yeah.
From what she's doing, you know, it's not set up for that. You're sitting in there keying in all these little numbers, and I'm sitting there like, this is ridiculous. This is fine when you have two employees and a $500,000 budget.
Two firms, yeah.
But when you start getting all this other stuff, depreciations, and we're going to have a city hall, we're going to have long-term debt there, the city's becoming a city. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do that. And Ken's going to keep working, and you know, we'll all keep at it. But
I noted that we're all before that?
Yes.
Consensus? Good. And anybody's got anybody in mind?
Yeah, get
them. Would email?
I got to talk to some people, you know, and see just what's out there, what's available, what the cost would be, and just kind of start fleshing this out a little bit. But I don't have a lot of time to flush it.
So how is it coming with our council goal setting?
I haven't talked to any about that.
Because we want it before we start talking about
that's
the budget.
Yeah, that's going to be like April. Yeah, I'm not worried about the numbers in the budget at this point. I'm talking about, you know, how we put it together.
Right.
Well,
goals is will be integral
yes,
to that.
That's exactly. No, I haven't. Sid was gonna help. I haven't done anything on it. So, yeah.
Well, I think that we know that it's integral, so that it'll be something you'll be working towards.
Yeah.
As we get past these next couple of.
Like I said, I mean, last is I don't know what background, what you want from us at this point for it.
Is Sid going to take the lead on it?
I said that
I
couldn't do anything in March, I think I said. And, I mean, I'm being very careful how I say all of this. Yes, I need some help. I mean, I can't only do.
You can only do so.
So
much.
I mean, I have got. We have got a lot of. We have an LCDC issues here. You know, I had numerous conversations today and emails on the whole comp plan thing. I had BioGreen stuff. I don't want to go down the. I cannot. It's going to be hard for me to. If you want me to do a bunch of background stuff, I don't know what you wanted, and I just. So you guys kind of sit said I can run. I can facilitate the session if it's coming in and sitting out. What's important? But that's a great. It's a discussion. But right. If you
what
want a bunch of background,
she said was that she could set it up.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she'll set. They're going to set it up at the time, what we're going to do, and everything. But beyond that, I'm assuming we don't need a bunch of. It's more of you guys talking about what's important to you,
right.
Isn't that?
So right. then she's going to move to set this up, say, what, in the first part of April?
Yes.
Okay.
Did we pick a day?
No. I didn't think so.
You know, we'll send
we're
out
talking
an email.
About a Saturday.
We'll send out an email next week that gives a couple Saturday options.
Okay.
And then, and a time, and then go from there.
We're going to take a break, or unless you have a question?
If it's okay, if I could retract. Did you guys already discuss the options on the City Hall? Because I know in your Ben Bulletin article, you know about the offer, mm-hmm. and then you had a price tag of about $170,000 for options, remodeling.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So did you already discuss that earlier in the meeting about mm-hmm. that? Okay.
I mean, just real quick, Ken, I like your idea, of course, of looking for local talent, moving back to the budget thing here, but as Rick pointed out, this is going to be very, very involved, and when you're looking for any talent as far as the budget, you're going to have to get someone who understands government budgeting.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Anything else?
Yeah.
You're always not quick enough.
our charter thing will only probably take 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Just, you know, I was thinking about your comments, and I didn't speak up soon enough on when we were talking about the ODOT situation, but what has been our challenge with that first in 97 is when traffic counts come up, and somebody wants to come into our business park, they're threatened to be cut off. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to take a piecemeal approach to this, then I think that we need to get an agreement with ODOT as to where those thresholds are and what could alleviate any amount of restriction on that intersection and make that a priority if we're going to do a piecemeal. If it's a left turn lane coming south, or if it's turns coming out, whatever that is, I just feel like that is the priority that we should take on it and get the support of Legge and the city and everybody that's involved here, because it looks like it's only a piece. And everybody's saying we've got years of economy to fight. Well, if we have biomass coming in, that might take us up to that threshold. And just one other opportunity that might support BioGreen could take us above that threshold. And so... we just need to identify what will be a relief on that intersection, even if it's one turn lane or whatever it would be. And ODOT seems to have the handle on what that is.
We'll be able to work with. I think that's a good point. Well, there's two things on that. I think we'll be able to work with ODOT. First of all, you know, they really are they're okay to work with. I mean, you know, they're a big agency, but
Historically they have just shut us down.
But that battle is going on everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's two things with that. One is they're buying into this plan, and so they're going to sign off on it. And so I think that they're going to buy into, you know, if we do a right turn lane, does that help you with X, Y, Z? I think two other things is when we're at the legislature, you have to get rid of this TPR, the transportation rule.
TSP.
No. TSP is. That's the transportation system plan, which we are going to have start that here soon. No, this is I got too many acronyms,
but it
involves this whole analysis that you go through. If there's too much traffic back, say in your industrial park, it's what screws up Cooley Road and Bend.
Yeah.
In Madras, there's big issues. So there is a movement to repeal that element, because what's happened is ODOT has become almost like the DLCD with this rule, and there's significant pressure to have them reduce or eliminate or change that. It's coming from all over Eastern Oregon. So we need to make sure when we see a legislator that we say that has got to change. There will be changes in that. ODOT and them aren't real excited about it because it will give more flexibility to us. The second thing is the city of Bend, Redmond, and Madras, and they're including Lapine, but we'll come along in a few months. And this is a whole concept that those three cities are working on, and that is you look at the system. If the idea is truck traffic, if I'm driving from Madras to Lapine, if I put passing lanes that decrease your travel time by 5 minutes, then if we put a business back here, that means you have to sit a minute longer. There's still a 4 minute gain in the system. In other words, you spend $1 million on a passing lane that gains 5 minutes. You don't spend $10 million on an intersection to gain a minute. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at this, and there's a bill in the legislature that will be introduced, and that will do as a test. And each of those cities are putting money in. And I told Eric that we would participate, but they said to me, because I met with them yesterday, and they said, we want you there. We're actually putting your name down, but we don't. The three bigger cities are working on it. And this is a concept at this stage. It's a bill in the legislature, and you're getting a free ride right now. And but that's also important. Mm-hmm. And they're going to look at travel times between Madras and Lapine. And can you reduce travel times by doing cheaper treatments, as they call it last night, project enhancements, passing lanes, and other things that are in lieu of an intersection. So there's several things afoot that could help us in that, so that you don't have ODOT shutting you down on a corner. So we got to fight the law that's on the books, see where this bill will go in this kind of test on Highway 97, and that kind of stuff.
And you think that law is called the TPRS or something?
Oh, I know.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our first order of business is the Lapine City Charter. I do believe there are copies, or there are copies out front here, so has everybody got a copy that would like to have one? We will open the public hearing. And we need the city staff for the summary. Judy, thank you. Gloria.
I'm sorry.
I was talking to somebody else.
Gloria.
Thank you, Gloria.
I was working with Vicki.
I'm going to keep her on top of it. Oh, I am. I'm the organizer. Well, did you? Oh, staff report on the summary. Well, you got all this stuff mailed out. Okay, bottom line, we're going to need to pass this resolution 2011-02, and you kind of have a little packet. One is the notice of the filing of the ballot title. And then the explanatory statement for the voters pamphlet. Under the law, this ballot, the reason we have to do now that this gets published, and we have to actually have it in by what time tomorrow? Noon?
Oh, 11:45.
11:45 tomorrow to meet the deadline. Because people can challenge the ballot title like they do on when you send things, and the secretary. So someone could say they don't like your wording. And they have so many days to do that. And then in order for us to be able to come back and change it if we had to, we need to get this in. So there is the actual notice of the filing of the ballot title. I'm sure all of you have read it or you think it's fine. let me find my glasses.
It's pretty self-explanatory. And then we'll be in the voter's pamphlet, and we'll sign that, get that submitted. And all of this will be accomplished when we pass Resolution 20102. You have a copy of the charter. We've looked at it many times. And some of the committee is, our committee members are here. Who from our committee is here? If you want to introduce yourselves.
Mary Thorson.
Linda Johnston.
Linda Bonner.
Okay.
Kim Molinex.
So that's it in a nutshell. And then one of the things we under discussion we can ask is how we want to be thinking about how we want to promote. I was thinking in April we need to do a town hall, you know, offer people a chance before the ballot comes out, do a town hall to explain the charter, and maybe do one and be a good time to talk about sewer and water at that point also. So we have a couple, three topics maybe, and do kind of to help generate more folks and everything. But the ballots will come out around the first, I've actually back calculated that.
15th of April?
Then, but the ballots themselves will come out about the first of May. I mean, it's May. But so somewhere in there, in May, where we'd have a town hall type thing to promote the charter. We need to make sure it passes. You know, the average person isn't going to get excited about a charter.
Is this the only thing that's going to be on the ballot?
Oh, no, your special districts.
Oh, that's right.
And so that will generate some interest. You'll have 7 of 8 positions mm-hmm. of the special districts. But plus you have fire, everybody. Parks, fire.
Park and rec.
I don't know if there's any money issues.
There could be.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get this approved. It's it's one of those things people tend to vote for. I mean, it's kind of that type of thing. So what we need to do is, and you just need to open a public hearing, take public comments, let them talk about it, and then you'll close the public hearing and approve the resolution or not approve it.
Okay. Very good. The public hearing is open to comments on the charter. Gloria.
I just wanted to commend the committee and thank them. I know a lot of work went into it, and they're very good about having hearings and responding to the concerns that mm-hmm. the public had. So I just wanted to honor it for saying that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Why, please give your name and address for the record. Anybody? I will say almost the same thing, is that I was on that committee, and it was a well working managed group that gathered. I'd like to compliment the city manager on pulling the information together in a form that actually made it fun and easy. We looked at all kinds of different scenarios, and he put the whole picture together, and everybody was able to understand it quite easily, and then we had some real involvement by the individuals that were on the committee. So, and I appreciated the chair. He handled the committee well, and we've actually talked him into serving on the city budget committee. So, same comments. Thank you. Any further comments?
Close public hearing.
Did Vicki leave?
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm just reading. I have no comments.
Oh, okay. I see you down here on the...
I know. Well, okay. Like Dan said, you put your name on whether you want to speak or not, right?
Okay. All right. There'll be no further comments on the charter in the public hearing. Public hearing's closed. Council deliberations, and let me start with Councilor Dan.
I'm just glad we're at this point, and I also appreciate all the work that's been done by everybody involved in our committee, and thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Are we going to vote on this resolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the charter. I think a lot of work went into it, and we really reflected the feeling of the community. It really took a lot of time to listen to. And they have a lot of tough issues to tackle, the outside council position that was pretty controversial. And I like the way that that was handled. And thank you.
Stu?
No.
Your name's Stu.
Well, I'd like to thank all the members that are present for their hard work that they put into this. I did attend a couple of the meetings. One of them, in fact, I believe there were the current mayor was present and two former mayors were present, and that led to some interesting which was relevant. It came down to whether the mayor is eligible to vote or not. You know, so there was good discussion in that. The resident member was discussed. So there was a lot of work that went into it. And I think everyone needs to be commended for it. And it's another historical step in the city of La Pine, and they all put it together. So all of you that are here, I think.
Don?
Well, I registered my feelings at a council meeting, and I guess I was convinced that I was wrong. So I too want to thank everyone that worked on the charter committee, because I think you did an exceptional job, and you did it in a good, fashionable, fast time for us. Just think how long this city's been in effect without a charter. And now, within just a few months, you as a committee got together, you drew up a charter, something that I think all of us can be proud of. And I think that you, as part of that committee, deserve an awful lot of credit in moving our city forward. And I want to thank you for it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Don. For myself, I'd like to make an analogy here. It's like the city manager said earlier that, you know, we're going to leave the councils and the officials of the city with a marble and not a formica in our council chambers, which will go on for many, many years. I feel the same way about the charter. I think we've got a Cadillac document here. I think that in the years to come, and the councils that follow us, we'll look at it and realize that yes, this they put the work in there, and it's going to serve the city for a long time. I congratulate them, as everyone else does.
Good.
Basically, then what we need is a motion to approve resolution number 2102.
Chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2011-02.
I'll make a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we approve resolution number 2011-02.
Could you amend that to read the title of the resolution?
Can you amend that to read the title of the resolution?
You got it in front of you?
Yes.
Just want to read it by title only.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. A resolution submitting to a municipal charter to the legal voters of the city of La Pine for approval and adopting a ballot title and explanatory statement.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it unanimously.
Well, you know, if you think about I think, in closing, I would just say that in the next 90 days, the city will own the city hall. You will have a charter. You will probably have a long way down a utility having your actual function of something coming here. And today, we pretty well reached total agreement with the attorneys on the mid-state franchise, and that will be here in April. So you will end up with a franchise with your utility, a city hall, a charter, and certainly some resolution to the sewer and water deals all in the next 90 days. And, you know, it's taken us 6 months to get here, because so people wonder, what are you doing? Well, you're doing all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to have a busy next 60 to 90 days. So understand that. And we may have a comp plan. So, but that's been ongoing. So anyway, I'm pretty happy and excited and proud of everything and everyone and all the committees and the folks that have helped make this all happen, because you have a group of volunteers and citizens here that I have not found other places.
Yeah.
That truly get into and get involved, and they are good folks. And they, so it's exciting for me to be here and be part of all of it with all of you. So, but we got work ahead the next 90 days to get these done and kind of close the deals, as they say.
We'll be a long way down on the budget in 90 days.
Did you have to ruin my speech?
are there any public comments at this point? Hearing none, Mayor?
I would like, I'm sorry, Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. I would just like to echo all of the thank yous that were put out there for the committee's hard work on the budget on the charter and everything. I would like to also extend a huge thanks to our city manager who did the framework for that for people to start working from. Yeah, made very good presentations so that people knew what was behind all of it and what they had to work from. It was a great team effort.
Correct.
Yeah, it was.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
Aye.